Welcome to the Sportscast, January 22nd, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're moving the Sportscast into its own channel. Check out thesportscast.net for all information where you can listen to the Sportscast. In February, it will no longer be on this channel, the Sleon Productions podcast channel. And you'll be listening to all the Sportscast, only sports. This channel will be technology only. So anyways, let's get into business. Championship Sunday was huge. Tyler Turner, what are your thoughts? And welcome to the Sportscast.
What's up, Ed? I'm only going to add a little bit to this, to be honest.
No, yeah, it's fine. But you saw the game. I know you did.
I saw one game. No, I didn't see both games. I saw the Chiefs versus Patriots. I didn't see
the Rams and Saints. Yeah, you were.
So do you want me to, I'll give you a very quick opinion.
I want to hear your opinion on this game.
Yeah, on the Rams versus Saints, Rams won. There you go.
How about the Patriots?
Very good game. Back and forth. Awesome. Great performances by both Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. Hold on one.
That's okay.
Hold on. Had a call come in. Great performances by both, back and forth. New England had the lead. Chiefs took the lead. New England took the lead. Chiefs came back, tied it, went to overtime. Patriots win, score a touchdown. And there you go. I mean, it was just a terrific game. Both quarterbacks just made play after play. It was just whoever got the ball last. And and it was the Patriots, so the Patriots won, and that's what it was. It was just a great quarterback performance by both quarterbacks, and they won the toss, and that won them the game, honestly. I think if the Chiefs would have won the toss, I think there's a good chance that they would have won.
You said after the game that Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time?
Oh, yeah. That's not even debatable. Really? Well, who's better than him?
I can't think of anyone. Like Lombardi, but I don't remember him.
If you're gonna say all time, I guess that could be a little broader. But if you're gonna say during the Super Bowl era, it's unquestionably Bill Belichick. And unfortunately, Lombardi didn't have as much opportunities to play. He only played 2 Super Bowls. He won both.
True.
And he's a great coach, but in the Super Bowl era, no one's been better than Belichick. No one's won more Super Bowls. No one's played more Super Bowls. No one's played more conference championships. No one's done more with variant of talent over 2 decades. Yeah, the greatest coach of all time is Bill Belichick.
Which my question is, can you name your Mount Rushmore for NFL head coaches?
Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick. No, okay. I'd say Bill Belichick. Let me think. You caught me completely off guard. I know.
Like, we talked about this a couple months ago.
I'll give you a couple more. I mean, Bill Walsh was great. He was the innovator of the West Coast offense. I don't know how many Super Bowls he won, 2 or 3 with the 49ers. Yes, put Bill Walsh on there. What Jimmy Johnson did in his short tenure with the Cowboys, he just didn't have a long enough tenure, but he won 2 Super Bowls after taking over. They were in a terrible shape, and within a couple of years, they won 2 Super Bowls. And basically, Barry Switzer won a 3rd one with his talent. Bill Parcells. Okay. Bill Parcells. I believe Bill Parcells played in 3 or 4 Super Bowls. I believe he won 2 or 3. He has to be up there.
How about Don Shula?
Yeah, Don Shula had the greatest single season in NFL history. Yeah, and Tom Landry. Tom Landry won 2 Super Bowls. I think he played in 4. I mean, this is right off the top of my head. I'm not looking. Oh, and then Chuck Knoll. Chuck Knoll won, I think, 4 or 5.
That was a lot of championships.
Once again, you hit me completely off the top. I'm not looking at data, so this is like not
I know.
Really fair.
I know that bugs
but
you.
Whatever. It's Sandy because it's not because you can't really give an objective enough response. You're only going off subjectively off the top of your head, so it's not as accurate as you can possibly be. But if I was going to go off the top of my head, I would probably say, go with the Super Bowls mostly. I would say Bill Belichick, Chuck Knoll. Let's go Don Shula. Let's go Bill Parcells. And if I had to do that's four, right?
Yeah, it's four. Yeah, I mean you could have an honorable mention.
No, let's just go those four. It's fine.
For next show.
Remember, Bill Parcells was the mentor for Bill Belichick, too.
Yeah,
so that's to be taken into consideration. So, yeah, Bill Parcells, Don Shula, Chuck Knoll. Man, I like Tom Landry a lot, though. I don't know. It'd be between Landry and Shula, probably.
For next show, we could have our Mount Rushmore for college football, if not, if you're ready right now.
No, I'm not doing that right now.
Okay.
Come on, dude.
That's fine. Okay. Into, you want to still cover the Patriots game or you're done with that?
No, that's it. I mean, it was a great game. It was back and forth. Mm-hmm. Great performances by both Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. Tom Brady won the winning that toss in overtime, I think, really was the thing that caused him to win. I think if the Chiefs would have won, they were on a roll offensively. I think, Mahomes are taking them down the field for a touchdown. So that coin toss was huge.
What do you think the Chiefs lack?
No, nothing really. I mean, they just lost by. I mean, it was just a great game. And they lost nothing. You know, just did win this year.
Also, one of the questions are asking: what are your thoughts about the performance of Eric Berry?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not giving an opinion out.
He was the guy that covered Gronkowski, but, you know.
Anyways. Gronkowski's great, though. I mean, you have to get the context that you have Tom Brady and you have, I mean, arguably the best quarterback in NFL history, and he just made some great throws. He made some great plays. So,
anyways.
I mean, there's only so much you can do when someone is playing on that kind of level. The same with Mahomes. It's not like the Patriots forgot to play defense. It's just Mahomes is making some awesome plays. He showed why he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Same with Brady. So, yeah.
Anyways, in college football news, late breaking about an hour ago, Ken Wilson will be the new linebackers coach for the Oregon Ducks under the Mario Cristobal staff. Is that a good move, good addition for the Oregon Ducks?
Yeah, from what I hear, he's been a coach for several years at Washington State. He was at Nevada under Chris Ault before that. It's been Mario Cristobal has pulled out of the Washington State, or Willie Taggart, kind of them together in 2017. They took the defensive line coach, Joe Salavea. In 2018, they took the running backs coach and the guy who kind of helped formulate the pistol offense, Jim Mastro, and now this year they go back to Washington State to take Wilson, the linebackers coach. So we've kind of been taken out of the Mike Leach coaching tree for three straight seasons, and so hopefully that turns out to figure out a way to beat them, because we have not beaten Washington State in four seasons. So that's what I hope to end all of this.
Yeah,
no, but just making the team better. Overall, and he's a good coach. He's a solid recruiter. He has a lot of contacts in California, which is the main recruiting base for. Yeah, I think it's a good hire. I think it's a good hire. A guy that I think will be here for a considerable amount of time, and I think he's a solid coach. And he's done a lot with less talent than he'll have at Oregon. So I think it's a good hire.
This is the fourth consecutive year in which the Ducks have lost during the season to Washington State. And then hired one of Washington State's assistants in the offseason.
Yeah, they hired David Yost the year before. I forgot about that.
And defensive lineman coach Joe Salave and running back coach Jim Mastro.
I already said Salave and Mastro.
Okay, there you go. David Yost.
I already covered it. David Yost is no longer there. He left after the old staff was fired. Yeah.
That's quite interesting. Okay, well.
Yep.
I think... I did not gather the news for Oregon Ducks. I know that was like the late breaking one. But any any flips that happened this past week, right?
Yeah, on the recruiting trail, they flipped DJ James, who was a three-star guy out of Fort Sumter, Alabama. He was committed to Mississippi State. He took an official visit to Oregon. He immediately flipped after. They also signed Jamal Hill, a three-star safety out of Georgia. And they signed, not signed, committed. They can't sign until February 6th, but they also got the commitment of Logan Sakabaloa, a three-star center out of Utah. So, yeah, they got three commitments in 3 days. Well, they got a commitment Saturday night, the Polynesian Bowl, and Monday they got the two commitments of Jamal Hill and DJ James. So, yeah, it's been a good last 3 days. We currently have the number 7 class in the country. We're doing a bunch of the re-ranking of the recruits. It's kind of like the final push of the recruiting websites where, like, Rival does the final rankings for their guys, ESPN does their final rankings for their guys, and this week 247's doing all the final rankings. So kind of when it's all said and done, you'll kind of have a little more of an idea where we're going to be at going into signing day. I think we're going to be landing at 5 to 7 range. And I think, I don't know how much more commitments we get. I know we're in it for Kristen Williams. He's a 4-star defensive tackle who's currently committed to Minnesota. There's a big guy that reclassified called Wisdom Asperl out of North Carolina. He's a 6'8", 280-pound defensive tackle. I know we're in it. We, like, have his last visit. I think we're battling North Carolina and maybe Tennessee. And I think a couple wide receivers to still watch out for are both USC commits, Puka Nacua from Orem, Utah, and Kyle Ford out of Orange, California. They're both committed to USC, but USC is not in a great position. Clay Helton has been on the hot seat. Cliff Kingsbury, you know, was hired. He all of a sudden left. And USC also has an extremely big depth chart at wide receiver. Basically, arguably all their best players play wide receiver. So it's not maybe a situation where the coach is on the hot seat, they don't have an offensive coordinator, and you're walking into a very expansive depth chart with a lot of talent. You might be able to flip one of those big 4-star receivers from USC. So that's who to look out for. There's a couple other names out there, but I wouldn't really look for Oregon to finish with many more guys. They have 22 guys signed. They have 3 guys committed. So that's 25 for this class. They might get 2, maybe 3, maybe 1 to 3 more guys for this class, but not really that much more. But at the end of the day, it's been a very good class. Currently number 7 in the country by 247 Sports.
And now, what's your opinion about Oregon's recruiting class? I know you said it was good, but you think they deserve a 7, or do you think they maybe higher to a 5 position?
Well, I've kind of talked to you about how it works, right?
You did a little bit, but you could repeat it again if you want.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not a subjective. The measure for it's subjective in that recruiting analysts and recruiting experts are the ones that put together the points per each website. So you have the Rivals expert for Rivals.com, you have the ESPN.com experts, and then you have the 247 Sports. And they then give a number to each recruit. So let's say, for instance, hypothetical, the number one recruit is Alfonso Alonso, or whatever his last name is. He is given 100 by 247 Sports, and he's actually 5th, I think, in the composite. Let's do it this way. Number one composite player in the country is Nolan Smith, who is signed with Georgia. He was ranked the number 2 prospect by ESPN. He was ranked the number 2 prospect by Rivals. He was ranked by number 4 prospect by 247 Sports, but his overall composite made him the number 1 player in the country. So if you get Nolan Smith, he then is considered the highest valued prospect in the country. So that's how they do it, and it goes down from there. You have the number 2 prospect, it's Kayvon Thibodeau. He was number 1 by ESPN, number 6 by Rivals, number 6 by 247 Sports. He is the number 2 composite player in the country. He went to Oregon. So from that, each player gets a certain value, and that value point goes into the composite. So that makes up your composite ranking. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's an objective measure. It's subjective in that it's recruiting analysts that give them the ranking, but the actual composite is objective. It's a numbering of a system that gets put into the system. You come out with a number. So we have the seventh ranked class based upon that number. So it doesn't really matter what I think. That's what it is. And these guys are all experts. They're experts for Rivals. They're experts for ESPN. And they're experts for 27 Sports. Is it a perfect science? No. But would I say it's pretty accurate? Yes, I would.
It's close to it.
No, it's very accurate because you look at in the 4 years that they've had the 247 team talent composite, only teams in the top 25 per the team talent composite have made the college football playoff. And I believe it is 14 of them have been in the top 20. And if you want to even go a little tighter, I think it's like 10. I'm doing this off the top of my head, but I think it's 10 have been in the top 10. So, yeah, it's pretty accurate at where the recruiting rankings go and how successful the teams are on the field. So,
yep. Well, Oregon Ducks is doing a great job.
My answer to that question.
For the good work of Mark Cristobal, getting out there deep and getting like the best players he can and competing against the tough SEC schools that are usually in the top five, but Oregon is definitely able to manage the competition.
Yeah, I mean, and at the end of the day, the real thing is you go for it's kind of at a systematic level, and you definitely the most important thing is you want to win your conference. You have to win the Pac-12 conference. That's the number one goal. And when you win your conference, you want to go to the college football playoff. When you go to college football playoff, you want to win it. But right now, the main goal is to win the Pac-12, and they definitely have won the Pac-12 recruiting this year. They're the number one team regarded as the number one team in the recruiting rankings for the Pac-12, and they were number two last year. So as a whole, last couple seasons, they have put together the number one or the number two class in the Pac-12, which is definitely putting them on the path to winning the Pac-12.
And USC is second in the Pac-12 when it comes to recruiting.
This year, correct. They've been, now USC's been number one, I think, like 6 years in a row.
Wow.
I'm going off my memory. It might be even more than that. USC's almost number one every year. But yes, this year they're number two.
Good job, Oregon.
Yeah.
Daniel Jeremiah, he's a writer. He's projecting Kyler Murray to go to New England. Do you think that'd be a good fit for him?
We'll just see how the process works out. It's a long ways to go. You have the combine, you have the pro days, you have, all the evaluations. At the end of the day, I think, a New England situation because no one is able to get more out of his talent than Bill Belichick. So, Julian Edelman was a quarterback in college. Look how he's been as a professional at the wide receiver position. Cordell Patterson was nothing but a returner for the Vikings. He has played running back and receiver this year for the Patriots. So what he's able to do with the pieces he gets is pretty remarkable. So, yeah, I definitely would be looking at a very successful outcome if Kyler Murray went to New England. But we'll see. We'll see what comes of it. We'll see where Kyler Murray goes. I don't think he's a I've said on Sportscast, I don't think Kyler Murray is a traditional. He's not. There's never been an NFL quarterback like him. And I know how they always want to reinvent the wheel. That's kind of how our society is with everything. And some things, when they're not broke, don't fix it. And if it's not been successful before, I mean, you can give it a chance. You can see how it works out. But I just think there's too many metrics that. I even saw him in that Alabama game. Every time he was in the pocket, guys got their arms up. You could tell that his diminutive size became an obstacle. And he's best rolling outside the pocket, but you cannot just be, if you can't make plays in the pocket in the NFL, you cannot be a consistently effective quarterback. There's just too many talented players on defense. There's too many talented coaches. It's never been done. You've had some guys that were good, but never anyone that was great, and never anyone who could do it on a consistent basis. And actually, normally, the guys that were kind of dual threat, real legitimate dual threat guys that had to get outside the pocket, had to make plays with their feet, ended up battling injuries. Robert Griffin, his career was derailed very fast. Michael Vick battled injuries throughout his career. Probably the best thing that happened was he went to prison, that he was able to heal up and get those extra couple of years in. I think it's kind of been a time old tale that if you can't make plays from the pocket, you will not have a very long and very successful NFL career as a quarterback. And I just don't see Kyler Murray being a pocket passer. He's very small, and I just don't see it. So I could be proven wrong, but I doubt it.
There is Riley just sent us an article saying that there's a mock draft from thearena.com. And they say that they think Damian Harris will be going to the Packers in the first round. What are your thoughts?
Just one mock draft. I would maybe they do have a couple running backs, Williams and Jones, that are decent. Maybe get another one. I would personally say you just signed a huge contract for Aaron Rodgers, basically a lifetime contract. Get him wide receivers. He didn't have good wide receivers this year. Davante Adams is good, but Randall Cobb is very injury prone. Geronimo Allison's he's a third wideout at best. Scantling and Arminius St. Brown are the jury's still out on them. He could use a better wide receiver. If you're me, if I draft a wide receiver in the first round, there's some good guys. You got DJ Metcalf. You got N'Keal Harry. You got You got DJ Metcalf. You got Brown, the other guy for Ole Miss. You got N'Keal Harry. I probably think of a couple others when I get off of here. But you've got a really good receiving tight end in like an Herb Smith. So something that will help him in the pass game is where I'd go with the first pick for the Packers.
Are you impressed with the moves that Matt LaFleur is doing with the Packers?
They're okay. They're okay. You mean the offensive coordinator for the Jaguars bringing him in? I don't know. It wasn't that great offensive coordinator for the Jaguars. But LaFleur is going to be the offensive play caller. I mean, that's what he is. That's why you bring him in. He's an offensive coach. So, I mean, I look at it from that angle that he's really going to be the one that dictates the offense. So he just has another eyes out there, and that's why he's bringing in the one guy. So it's okay. He kept Patini or the defensive coordinator. I think that was a good move. Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. We'll see. We got Aaron Rodgers. Bring in an offensive coach. We'll see how it goes. Bring in the talent. Bring in some good receivers. Got to get some good receivers. Got to get some big-time guys that can make plays. Got to get guys that can get open, separate, make plays in the passing game. It just was not a great receiving core last year. You had one guy that was really a good receiver. The rest are very marginal at best. So really focus on drafting one or two really good receivers. Not fifth, sixth, seventh round guys. I'm talking about take a guy in the first round. Go out there, get the best guy you can get. It's DK Metcalf, it's N'Keal Harry, it's Brown, whoever. I can't even think of the other people. Get a receiver. You got a great quarterback. You have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Get him some targets to make some plays.
I was hearing that Tom Brady was telling Aaron Rodgers, hey, if you play with the Patriots under Belichick, you'll get a lot more yards out of you.
Didn't hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably would.
I'd agree.
In other college news, we've been seeing a lot of movement in Alabama. A lot of the assistant coaches are moving, to Miami, to Michigan. For example, Dan Enos is going to Miami. Josh Gattis is going to Michigan. What are your thoughts about what's going on with Alabama? Is that a red flag, or what are your thoughts?
I don't know. They definitely did a story. I think it was Bruce Feldman that ran it. It was kind of odd because I guess Dan Enos just, literally took off. He didn't even, consult with Saban. Gattis, I think I heard a little bit, was the same. You had Tosh Lupoi, who was a defensive coordinator, and he went and took a position coach job in the NFL. Kind of odd. you know, I mean, a lot of guys leave Saban after a year or two. And it's hire of a Steve Sarkisian. It was kind of an odd hire. I mean, Sarkisian was just fired with the Falcons. Remember, Sarkisian was an analyst who was moved to offensive coordinator and all of a sudden took off to take the Falcons job. Well, then gets fired from the Falcons and then comes back to the Alabama. It just, you know, just kind of odd all around. I think working for Nick probably gets a little old. I think he just kind of rides people. I think he's a type A personality. I said it on the sportscast. I think Nick Saban maybe should just leave the game. I think it might be time for there's something more to prove. You've won 6 national titles.
I think he's trying to break Bear Bryant's record.
You've won. There'll always be something. Then you'll try to break your own record because you're bored. in a constant search to just, it will not find you peace, will not find you happiness. But what can find you peace and happiness is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There you go.
Amen. That's
my
true
message for the day. Yeah. So, like, I don't think he's going to, all he's going to do is I think he's going to end up wearing out his welcome and maybe even, like, turning a couple people off, maybe making a mistake here or there that ends up making his end up a little tarnished. You never know. I've just seen it too many times. I've seen it too many times where guys stood around too long, and in the end, their end was really ugly. You think of the Joe Paternos. You think of Bobby Bowden. You think of, Woody Harris, the great coach from Ohio State, where they stood around too long, and something ended up happening, and then it ended up not ending their career quite as good as what they should have been remembered by. So there's a time to step away. And I tell you what, winning 5 national titles in, what is it, 11, 12 years or whatever ridiculous short amount of time he's been so successful. 6 overall because he won one with the LSU. I think maybe Nick Saban should walk away pretty soon. I don't think he's going to walk away now. But if he happens to win it one more time, I think Nick Saban needs to say, you know what? I've done it. I've done it all. What more there to do? I'm 69 years old. I got my health. I've won 6 titles. One of the best people who have ever done it was Tom Osborne. He, you know, coached for 20 years. He struggled. He lost a national title game. And he finally broke through. He won 3 titles in 4 years. And he finally said, you know what? What better can I do? I'm just going to be here. I'm just going to get older. I'm not going to get better than 3 national titles in 4 years. He just walked away. And he said, you know what? I'm done. I've done it. You know, it was fun. And I think Nick's getting to that level. Because I just think, because he's not going to be happy. He's obviously miserable because he got his ass kicked in the national title game. But he got to the national title game.
Which is hard to accomplish.
He's been to the college football playoffs all 5 years. He's played in the national title games 4 straight years. He's won 2 of them in the last of the college football era. He won 3 before that. He won with LSU before that. It's just time to say adios, amigos, my friend. I've done it all.
You're fed up with him, aren't you?
No, did I say that?
No, I'm just asking. Are you?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I just think it's time for him to be gone. I don't think there's nothing more for him to prove. And I think the fact that it kind of got ugly is the fact that he's kind of maybe restless because really he can't get much better. And he's a type A personality. He's always striving. He's always fighting. He's always pushing. And I think it's in his best interest to walk away. I really do.
You know, is Saban that type of coach like Belichick where he could get any assistant and just works in the system? Do you think Nick Saban is that guy that does not have to rely on certain assistant coaches? You think he does it all?
How many assistant coaches has he gone through? How many defensive coordinators, how many offensive coordinators has he gone through in the last 4 years?
I don't remember. But I don't know if you have left.
He's had a new offensive coordinator every single year. He's gone through, he had Kirby Smart, then he had Jeremy Pruitt, then he had Tosh LePoy and Golden. Now he's done with LePoy. He's on his 4th defensive coordinator, or at least co, or whatever it is. He's on his 4th offensive coordinator. How are they doing on the field?
Doing fantastic. They're going to championship games.
How are they doing on the recruiting trail?
Great. Number 1.
Does that answer your question?
It does answer.
There you go. So, yeah, just walk away. Time for him to walk away.
How many of those assistants?
I'm gonna say, there's time for him to walk away.
How many of those assistants succeed in like the new spots they go to?
I mean, Mario Cristobal is doing pretty good for Oregon. You know, I mean, 9-4. You know, Kirby Smart, national title game appearance. You know, New Year's Six Bowl. Jerry Pruitt didn't have a great first year, but he's had a good recruiting. He's probably going to finish with a top 10 class. I'm good. Yeah. I mean, Saban's trees is solid. You know, they've done well. I mean, Lane Kiffin's weird. They've done pretty well. Yeah.
Are you watching the Australian Open?
You know it, baby. Novak plays against Kia Nishikora tonight. Ooh. In the quarters.
What time is those games at now?
They're late. Let's see the time. Nadal won yesterday. He's in the semifinals. You got Novak in the quarters. I'm just going to go on the limb here. I think it's going to be Novak versus Nadal for the final.
Okay.
I think it's going to happen. He plays at 2:30 in the morning, Novak. But no, it's not 2:30 there. It's whatever, 2:30 in the afternoon there. So, yeah, I think it's going to be Novak versus Nadal. Novak has to win two more. Nadal has to win one more. But I think it's, unless an upset happens, I think you're setting up for a Novak versus Nadal final.
Forgot to mention this on College Football. Alabama added four new assistant coaches to its staff: Charles Kelly, Sal Sinceri, Kyle Flood, and Charles Huff. What are your thoughts about them?
Nothing. I don't know enough. I really don't.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have any predictions tonight. There's not many, you know, there's a few college basketball games and no NBA, but I guess we could go on to tennis and see who's going to win.
I'm predicting Novak versus Nadal final, and I'm going to go with my boy, Novak. He's won the last two majors. He's been very good against Nadal in the major semifinals and finals. So I'm going to go Novak in the finals over Nadal.
What are your thoughts about Andy Murray retiring?
Good move by him. He'd been battling injuries for several years. And I think there's a point where, you know, Federer battled some injuries. He had Nadal battle injuries. And I didn't think Nadal was going to come back. It's amazing that he came back and doing so well again. And then Novak battled injuries. Then there's, like, battling injuries for long periods. And Murray, it's just, like, he couldn't get healthy for a couple of years. And he was not getting more healthy. And then it goes to, like, with Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic, there's something to play for. Like, they're trying to win more majors than the other guy. And, you know, you got Federer way up there, but then you have Nadal not too far behind, and then you don't have Novak far behind that. So there's always a chance that Nadal could catch Federer, Djokovic could catch Federer and Nadal, but Murray's so far behind. He's only won three majors. He's not going to catch him. So he made a good move. It was a smart move by him.
Novak is Tyler's guy.
Novak, baby!
And before we end the show, random question of the day. What is your favorite McDonald's sandwich?
Don't eat there.
Okay.
Yeah, another one.
When was the last time you ate?
Do you got a backup question? I don't know. That's a good question.
Good for you. That's how McDonald's is tough to dodge.
You really thought? Did you? Was this what you're asking everyone?
Everyone says quarter pounder or Big Mac or fish fillet.
Okay. I'm going to say it. Do I look like someone who eats McDonald's?
No, you don't. Not at all. But, you know, you might have a cheat day.
What do I do for a living?
Well, you're modeling, but, I mean, I guess you're that strict.
I don't eat that crap. Now, if you ask what's my favorite sandwich from, like, Chick-fil-A's good. You know, I like
number one.
Their 12-piece nugget.
Okay.
I'll eat the crispy. The crispy still isn't that many calories. It's like only 400 calories. So
that's not bad.
Because I don't do the meal. I don't do the fries. I just do the crispy nuggets. So it's only 400 calories. So, and it's 30 grams of protein. So it's a good move. But
come on, man.
Here's my backup question.
McDonald's?
It's National Hugging Day. Do you hug or handshake?
Midnight, most of the time, unless it's like a kind of a bro hug, I'll say hug. Normally, hug a woman, especially if she's attractive. I'm just kidding. No. I normally will hug a girl.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. It's a tough question because it could be awkward at times. And it really depends on who it is. If it's your fellow football player, then you probably give him a hug.
I don't really do a lot of hugging to dudes, man. I don't know. I've never been a big hugger when it comes to guys. But girls, yeah, I'll give a girl a hug.
I always thought
hugging a dude, I don't know, whatever.
If you're in the Latin community, you're allowed to give a kiss in the cheek.
To same sex?
No, to the opposite sex.
Oh, okay. Same sex, they ain't kissing no dude. Leave that stuff to like an LGBTQ convention. I'm sorry, that sounds kind of rough. Anyway, whatever.
It's okay. Tell how can people reach you?
I'm being funny.
I know. Hey, it's fine.
Do not get offended. You know how our country gets offended. They might start boycotting your show because I say that.
Yeah. Okay.
You know how the left has to spend everything. Anyways, they can reach me at Tyler Turner, Minneapolis.
Yes, and they could ask you about what's a good place to eat.
Where's a good place to eat? Yes. If I told you where is a good place to eat, that's such a broad question. If you want to make it more specific, what is the best fast food place to eat? I would say
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A's pretty good. Chick-fil-A or oh man, drawing a blank. It's Qdoba.
And
Bojangles. They don't have Bojangles in the north, man.
They don't.
Come on,
well, they
bro.
Do have no. them down. Well, they don't have it in Miami. I think there was one location in Miami, but I think you got to go towards Georgia or like northern Florida. But no, Bojangles
they
is pretty
have
good.
It. I know.
It's pretty good. I mean, I like their gravy.
I don't know. I'm not from the south, dude. I'm a northern boy.
You guys have Zaxby's?
No. I'm dude, a little different up here.
I know.
You don't even know Qdoba, do you?
Qdoba is that taco place, right?
Oh, they have that.
I've seen them. I've seen them around, but they're like one. There's just one in Palm Beach, I think.
Oh, nice. I didn't know they had it. They have our taco up here. I don't think they have that in the.
They don't.
South. They have what else do they have in the north that they don't have in the south? They have Panera Bread. I like Panera. They have that in the south.
Oh yeah, it's just huge. Yeah.
Actually, I like Panera. Their Greek goddess salad is really good. It's actually good. It's low calorie and it's really good.
Yeah.
So I'd say if you go fast food, I'd do Panera Bread, Chick-fil-A, and Qdoba.
Qdoba. Tyler does go to fast food occasionally, but he does have to.
Yeah, because both places are actually good fast food. Not like McDonald's.
Yeah, keep yourself lean. Well, Tyler, appreciate coming on to Sportscast. You'll be back next week for the Super Bowl predictions.
Yep, most tough.
All right, man. Have a good night.
Go Rams. All right.